Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope, where we discuss pro wrestling from a higher vantage point. I'm Chad, here as always in Zeus's lair. I'm joined by one of my best friends in the world, the good man Diesel.
That's funny.
What?
That was awesome. What was funny about that? So I can't say anything bad about it. I thought it was going to be something funny to come out of my mouth, but it didn't. So how are you doing anyways, Chad?
Living the dream one day at a time. And it was so nice that we brought him back thrice. We have JR with us again tonight.
What's up, guys? I'm glad to be here again.
Woo-woo.
We're glad to have you. We didn't think you were going to make it at first because we knew you had to work, but you figured something out, and I'm glad to have you here tonight.
Yeah, that's right. I finagled some things to get here tonight.
Finagled. I like that word. But how's your week been, Diesel?
It's been decent.
Decent, my good man.
There's been some decent wrestling with Raw and SmackDown are okay. NXT was pretty good, but Packers didn't play since last Thursday, so I haven't had a podcast where the Packers played, so there's been a lull right there.
It's true.
Other than that, everything's been going pretty good.
That's good to hear. JR, how about you?
Not too bad. You know, just working a bunch, but it's been a pretty good week. Watched a lot of wrestling, a lot of football on Sunday, so I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you as always. I had a good week. I caught up on a bunch of wrestling. I caught up with some Ring of Honor, some New Japan. I put out a New Japan podcast, so you guys should all check that out because you guys answered the poll and you said you wanted to hear about New Japan, so I did about a 30-minute podcast for you guys for that. Also, really just had a good week. But we're going to move right ahead, even though my Patriots are playing right now, and I just want to ignore it because I don't want to know how the game's going. So we're going to move into my favorite segment of the week, which is the Mystery Brainbuster of the Week, and I love it. And we're going to let JR go first because he's a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, and, you know, last couple times I've been here, people have the same question as me, so I'm going to go first to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Well, good call.
So my question was to try to build your own fantasy booking, basically. Build your own Survivor Series match, 5-on-5, people that are wrestling right now, but it can be from any promotion, not just WWE, whatever you want to do.
All right. I'm going to take this one first because as the kings of continuity.
It can be kings with a C or continuity with a K. Maybe we'll put up a poll. You guys decide.
You will decide how we're going to spell that because that's what we're going to be called.
And how we're going to say it as well.
Exactly, because Diesel's having some issues with it. But as the kings of continuity, I am going to answer this question first because we did a little answer and question last few weeks ago about 3 years ahead, who would be champions. And I had Kenny Omega and Adam Cole as my champions. And I said this was leading into a Survivor Series brawl over who would be allowed to be called the club at this time. So I'm going to book this match right now. So my first team captain is Kenny Omega, and he would be on Raw. And the Raw team would involve Kenny Omega. It would involve the actual club, Doc Gallows and Machine Gun Anderson. It would involve AJ Styles. And it would also involve, wow, now I'm drawing a blank on my final person. It's somebody who's already in the WWE and represents the old school club.
Finn Balor?
Yeah.
No?
No, not Finn Balor.
And now I've forgotten my own person.
Wow.
It's not good.
So go through them again. Maybe you'll jog your memory. You got Adam Cole.
Nope. Now you switch to the other side.
All right. Okay. I was on the other team. My bad.
So we have Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
We have The Club. We have AJ Styles. And I'm going to switch to the other team. We have Adam Cole. We have the Young Bucks. We have Finn Balor. And we have Kevin Owens on the other team.
Okay.
But I don't know who's on the other side.
Mystery opponent.
No, there's one more.
Who is it? And I figured it out finally. It was Cody Rhodes on the other side. He's coming back to the WWE side of this because my main point is old Bullet Club members versus the young side. And that's why Finn Balor's on the other side because he started the Bullet Club. And at that time, it was meant to be, you know, an up-and-coming thing. And the Kenny Omega and the other side represents the older side of the club. So that's why he sides with Adam Cole, even though, you know, Finn Balor is the one who started it. So it's Diesel's turn to answer this question now.
Okay, I'm going to lay out a scenario for you right here.
Fantastic.
Let's pretend that for one day that there's no restrictions and Vince McMahon lets anybody come in and wrestle a pay-per-view. And in this pay-per-view, they book a Survivor Series-style match. It'll be WWE versus The World.
All right.
So I'll book my WWE team first, and I'll go AJ Styles.
Fair enough.
Kevin Owens.
Like it.
John Cena.
Like it.
Brock Lesnar.
Cool.
Roman Reigns.
Like it.
And Braun Strowman was close runner-up, but I like my favorite.
You got to go Roman Reigns on that for sure.
And my World team... Okada.
All right.
Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. War Machine.
Oh, that's a really good pick. You've got to love War Machine. They're probably the best tag team right now in the world for having, like, just a year. Like, they're champions of everywhere.
And then I'm also going to take Cody Rhodes, but opposite of what you're doing, he's going to be against the WWE, and it's going to be a big angle with Cody Rhodes coming back to face the WWE.
See, and I like that
style. I like that a lot too, actually.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it.
All right, so I guess I'm up next then. And so I was thinking about, and I wanted it to be like super heels versus super faces. So if I do my faces first, I would do like John Cena might be the, you know, what do they call, like captain?
Team captain.
Yeah, team captain. Then you do Roman Reigns, which is always good. And then Okada over in New Japan. He's a super face over there. For some reason, I like, let's do Shinsuke Nakamura. He's awesome. One of the best in the world.
He's so over with the crowd right now. It's
crazy,
insane.
Crazy. And then one of the best wrestlers on the planet, AJ Styles, on my face team. Even though he's a really good heel as well, but right now he's a
face. Oh, he's 100% face as U.S. champion.
Okay, and then on my super heels team, I want the villain, Marty Scurll.
All right.
He's awesome. And then I want from WCPW... for some reason, I can't. Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry.
Local hero.
That's right. Joe Hendry. He's the man. And then I want Kevin Owens, who is one of the best heels of all time. I love that guy.
Yeah.
You got to go with The Miz, who is awesome.
He is awesome.
Seriously, he's the best.
I love his entrance music as well.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He came to play.
I love that they still give
There's
him
a price
the
to pay.
I still love that they give him the, like, all his video package at the beginning. They like took everybody's away and then he still gets his for some reason. I don't understand why.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah, I guess. And then my last one, certainly not least, is Adam Cole.
Bay.
That's right. I knew Chad would be on top of that. He loves that guy.
I was having a drink.
So yeah, super heels, super faces. I think they would put on a great match.
Oh yeah. No, that's a really good thing. And I love that we all had a theme to what our Survivor Series match would be. Mine, I know I was stumbled a little bit, but I didn't say it. So my theme would be club versus club, deciding who would give it to called the club after this. And that's why it would be awesome.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It would be awesome. Any right. of these, all three of them.
Exactly. And then Diesel's was clearly WWE versus the world. And JR had the faces, the greatest of all in the world versus the best heels in the world. So you got to love how we all had different styles for what our Survivor Series match would be. And now we're going to roll right ahead to another question. And because we have one great fan out there, we have more than one great fan, but one really great fan because he asks us a bunch of questions. So we're going to roll right into that, and Diesel's going to ask it.
He's not just a great fan. He's a new friend.
He is a new friend.
That's right.
And his Twitter handle is at Joker331PK. And this week he is asking, what is your opinion on WWE taking personal heat and applying it to feuds?
And I'm going to take this first because I personally love it because it makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense back in the day because you can even go back to the Matt Hardy Edge feud from way back when over the Lita thing where, you know, Edge was having an affair with, you know, Lita. And it really elevated both guys. Matt Hardy may not have maintained his stay at the, you know, glass ceiling. He didn't break through it, clearly. He, you know, went off, and then he went to the Ring of Honor, and then he went to Impact and changed himself all up. But Edge shattered that glass ceiling with that. And with that personal heat, he changed his complete character, became the rated R superstar, changed everything about him. And even going back then, and now in today's, you know, completely transparent world where we all have Twitter, everybody knows everything. So you have to use, you know, personal heat and real things, or else it's almost impossible to suspend disbelief.
Well, I'm with you to an extent too, Chad. Like, I really do enjoy it. Like, when Roman Reigns and John Cena were breaking the fourth wall, like, I like that kind of stuff, but I don't want it all the time. Like, I don't want overkill. I don't want them to do it every feud. I want them to do it when necessary. Like, those two are huge faces of the company, and it makes sense. And to your point, I really liked the Edge, Matt Hardy stuff too. You feel super sympathetic towards Matt Hardy, and it makes you like the rivalry even more. But I just don't want them to do it all the time, everywhere. I don't like that.
Okay, well, kayfabe is obviously dead. It's been dead for a while now.
Long, long time.
And my opinion on whether they should go with real or angles, I mean, they probably should, because, like you said, Twitter, everyone knows what every wrestler is doing, and they just follow them on Twitter because they tweet everything. They know who their friends are and where, what restaurants they go to and who they go to them with. And then also, I don't know, I believe that it's also like a TV show too, and they're playing characters. So I don't want it to be all real angles. I want to be able to like enjoy a TV show, something that can't happen in real life, and be able to just lose myself in it and just have a good time watching a show like I would any show like on HBO or Showtime, you know. So,
well, you know who's the master of that right now is The Miz. He has been doing that for now the past 2 years, ever since that Talking Smack promo with Daniel Bryan, when it just completely changed his career. He has been blending real world with wrestling world so seamlessly that he deserves an MVP award for everything that he's done. And it's the reason that, besides myself, even the normal populace is now saying that he deserves another run as the heavyweight champion.
Oh, he really does. He's been killing it. Like, every single thing he does is amazing. He's probably the top heel in the company right now, and I don't think he's going to get dethroned anytime soon for that.
I mean, yeah, he deserves a run with Universal or WWE title. I mean, he's earned it, especially with, like I said, the last 2 years with his promo work, and he's gotten better in ring too over the years. And
he's got the it kicks now.
Yeah, that's right. It kicks.
The famous it kicks.
The famous it kicks. Corey Graves is awesome.
And I mean, really, I mean, that's a good example of what I'm talking about is The Miz for sure. So, I mean, I don't really have much more to say on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I honestly love everything about it. You both are, you know, kind of on the fence. You enjoy it, but you just don't want the overkill on it.
Yeah.
So I think we just move right along. I think we answered that question fully. And always thank you for the questions.
Yes, and also we got to mention that we got a new banner and avatar on our Twitter and SoundCloud. And it was created by our new friend Joker, and it looked awesome. So
I'm a little obsessed with the avatar, to be 100% honest with you. I keep looking at it and going, that's really cool. And then I forget it's ours, and then I look at it again.
It does look really good. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, why don't you stop by our Twitter at View From Top Rope and take a look. And while you're there, leave us a question, and maybe it'll get answered on next week's podcast.
It will 100% get answered on next week's podcast. But so we're going to roll right along. It's time for my question this week. And my question is kind of like JR's, because I'm also going to ask you to pick five wrestlers. But my question is, I'm going to ask you to book a super faction. And it can be anyone you want. I want kind of a theme to it. And I want a name for this faction as well. And it's five wrestlers from whoever you want. And you can do any time period, I suppose. So who would like to take this one first?
Well, I'll go first. I kind of had a thing in mind for a faction, just doing all like monsters, all giant dudes that are over 300 pounds, tall. If like you ran into this faction, it would be almost impossible to win. So I had Kane, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and the Big Show. So think about that for a second. Anytime somebody's about to win a match or something, somebody that they hate, they could all be heels. I don't care, because heel factions work the best. But if you're trying to run into that group, you're in trouble.
I think that would actually be a better face faction, to be honest. Yeah, it would be kind of really cool, thinking though. About it as a face faction, I think that would really work better because the crowd would just pop every time. They could, like, you know, five tuple chokeslam people.
Right, yeah. All five of them would be awesome.
Five tuple tombstone pile drive everyone.
So I guess it would just be the Monsters as their name.
The Monstars. We already talked about this. Don't make me say it again. We are using the Space Jam reference, and it is the Monstars.
All right, the Monstars.
There you go.
That's what they are.
Because it's the best faction name you could think of for that.
Okay.
So all right, Diesel, it's your turn. It's my question.
Okay, well, mine is a bit weird. I got Dean Ambrose, Vinny Marsilia.
All right.
From Ring of Honor and the King Kingdom.
King of Horrors.
Then I also got Primate, from the British scene.
Yeah.
He's a nutty guy.
You know, his name is Aaron Prime. And
Jason Prime.
Jason Prime. I thought it was Aaron.
It's Jason.
All right. You're right, then.
I won that one pretty easy.
All right. I'm not going to argue with
you. All right. You're right.
Oh, you're throwing me off here. I can't remember who else I have. Now, thanks a lot, Chad.
We have one more interesting person.
Two more, I thought.
More people. Yeah, well, give away the best part. Why don't you? Crazy people. Who did I pick for a crazy person? It's contagious. Wow, it's been a really long day, folks. Okay, I got it. Alexander Wolf.
Oh, that's a good one. From Sanity, right?
From Sanity. And then, lastly, Lashley.
Yeah, now that was some good use of wordage right there.
And the whole idea behind this faction is that there's all these crazy guys, and Lashley is almost like a cult. Like, Lashley's the cult leader of the crazies, and they call them Lashley's Loonies.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it, too.
It's really funny to me.
It's a different group, but it would still be a really good faction.
Yeah, no, it'd be really awesome. So my faction, I'm going with a completely different kind of style. And my faction is going to be Roman Reigns, the Usos, and the Gorillas of Destiny. And they're just going to be called The Family. And they're just going to be a mob-style Samoan family, just putting hits out on people.
So they'll be heels is what you're saying.
Basically. Oh, they're going to just rip people apart on every roster. And you could hire them to do it as well. They're going to be the ones just guns fryer going, you need someone taken out?
So kind of like APA, except for more people.
and heels.
Like, yeah. Basically like a bigger, better version of the Shield.
Pretty much.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Exactly. But they would just be kind of like Samoan mobsters. That's really what I want them to be.
Can we talk for a second just how much better the Usos are as heels? Like, seriously, they're like night and day. Like, I was kind of tired of them for a little bit, but not anymore. They are awesome.
No, they're untouchable on the mic. I tweet about it constantly because the Usos are one of the best parts of SmackDown each and every single week, no matter what they're doing.
That's what happens when you don't script people's promos.
Yeah, they let them go off the cuff. It's way better.
100% better. So I guess that's all of our answers to my question. So that leaves Diesel. Give us your question, buddy.
And for my question, I'm going to piggyback off of Chad's question from last week with his superheroes, but I'm going to go more towards my Batman universe that I was working with last week.
You're not talking about The Flash?
No, not The Flash. That was a mistake. I was actually thinking about Arrow, but let's go with Gotham.
All right.
So, anyways, last week I picked John Cena as Batman and I picked Dean Ambrose as the Joker. So then, also Vince McMahon is Commissioner Gordon. I thought that was hilarious. So
this time,
it was perfect.
I wanted to do some more villains. So I decided we should do the Riddler, the Penguin, Two-Face, and Catwoman.
All right. I like your style. I'm glad you decided to piggyback off my question. And I'm glad that I decided to piggyback off my own question because I almost did. I didn't tell you that a while ago, but I almost did.
Well, I definitely don't want to go first on this, Chad, so if you want to field it.
Of course, I'll just knock it out of the park. It's what I do. So my first answer, I'm going to go with the Penguin, and I am going to take Kevin Owens to be my Penguin because he is deceptively agile, maniacal, menacing, and just all around really great at what he does. And he's a perfect penguin because he is a prize fighter. He's out there for the gains and to make the most and to be in charge of everything. So he's the perfect penguin. My next person, because I'm just going to do this anyways, because I'm a nice guy, is my Catwoman. And I'm going to take Kairi Sane to be my Catwoman because she is just agile and quick. And that elbow drop, I could just see Catwoman doing something like that, to be honest, just to take someone out, to leap from a building and just elbow drop them like that. So Kairi Sane would be my Catwoman. My Two-Face would be Will Ospreay because he works so well as a face and heel in so many different promotions across everything. So he's the perfect Two-Face because he is just two different characters across so much of the world. Like you watch him one place, he's the biggest face on the card. Watch him the other place, he's the most despicable person in the world. So it's amazing. So he'd be my Two-Face. And finally, my Riddler would be Marty Skrull.
Perfect choice.
Because he is just kind of a little bit crazy and he's always speaking in riddles. He's a spot of bother kind of guy and I love Marty Skrull. So I had to get him in there somewhere as the villain. And I think he'd be a great Riddler. He just looks kind of like a Riddler kind of guy if you don't talk about.
Yeah. I like all those. They all make sense. And to be honest, you stole one of mine because while I was thinking about it, you are absolutely correct that Kevin Owens is the perfect Penguin. Like, especially in the old school comics and stuff, he's supposed to be kind of chubbier, which Kevin Owens is. And he likes to run things. Like when he's commissioner for – not no, not commissioner.
Mayor.
Mayor. When he's the mayor, he loves to run things. He likes to run things now. He tried to steal SmackDown from the McMahons.
Oh, that was the best
stuff. It was so good. So good. So I agree with you on that point. But then if I want to do my Catwoman, I actually was going to pick Naomi to be my Catwoman. Because she jumps around a lot too. You know, she does her all her moves are basically off the top.
She has a split-legged moonsault. Yeah, she has a whole bunch. Yeah.
Yeah, she does springboards and stuff like that. So I would pick her for my Catwoman. And as for my Two-Face, I was thinking Seth Rollins. So he's friends with the Shield, and all of a sudden he turns his back on him, Two-Face. Then all of a sudden he comes back from being injured, and he's a face. So I like that he changes a lot like that. So I think that would be perfect for the Two-Face. And then for my Riddler, I only did this because he talks in backwards riddles all day, every single day, and that's Bray Wyatt. Everything he says sounds like a riddle.
After I answered my question, I immediately thought of Bray Wyatt.
Seriously.
I was like, I should have said
every
Bray
time
Wyatt.
I see him and he says something to like Finn Balor, I'm like, well, I don't get it. I hope Finn Balor knows his riddles because I don't get it. So those are my four.
You guys went more like logical, and I kind of went like a little fun.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that either.
So I'll start with my Riddler, and it'd be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh.
What? Exactly. So I got Stone Cold as my Riddler. For my Penguin, I would actually go with Marty Skrull.
Oh,
he has dude, the umbrella.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
He's got the bird face, too.
Yep, and... I mean, he's a good Riddler.
It's a plague mask. It's not a bird mask.
Okay, Chad, I don't watch enough of it to know what it is, but it looks like a bird, like one of those.
You know what a plague mask is,
oh,
though?
I know. Yeah, now that you say it, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. Then why are you arguing?
Oh, I'm not arguing. I never thought of it like that, though.
Okay, so then for my Two-Face, Psycho Sid.
Oh,
nice.
That's a really good one.
I like that one.
He's really calm for a minute, and then he gets all crazy.
It's like gimbly-bimbly.
They switch sides of the face.
Oh, I can see that.
And then for flipping a coin as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And for my Catwoman, I'm going to go with Lita.
Ooh,
I didn't even think about Lita. That's perfect.
That's so pretty solid. And I forgot to tell you. There's a mystery one.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you Come did on say now, that.
And it's not part of Batman.
Okay.
But if you don't want to answer, I already got an answer. I can just answer.
I'm gonna answer.
Well, we'll answer.
I'm going with Skeletor.
Who's Skeletor? Like from He-Man?
Yes.
Yeah, we all know who's Skeletor.
Well, some people listening might not know He-Man, man.
All right. Who is
Skeletor? He-Man, man.
Who is Skeletor?
Skeletor. That's kind of rough. Oni Lorcan.
Oh, that's a good one. that is a good one.
That's a really good one.
I don't know why
it
popped in my head, but I like that guy a lot, too.
I'm going to have to answer someone I really hate. I'm going to say this. Ryback.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
He's a faster, muscular Skeletor, I guess. Yeah. Okay, well, mine is the Miz's mom.
Oh, geez, bro.
Super mean, but hilarious.
Oh. She looks exactly like Skeletor.
No, she seriously does. Now that when she sits in the front row, I'm like, oh, she's real scary. Like,
and now the Miz is going to hate us forever.
Oh, he won't hate us. It's a joke, Miz. We love you.
No, Miz will hold that person.
Probably will.
He's still awesome.
He is awesome.
Really awesome. We love you, Miz.
Ding, ding, ding.
And that's the sound of the bell, kids, which means it's time for Pro Wrestling History 101, where Professor Diesel tries to smarten us up.
And it's not going to be very easy this week.
It's really not, but we did do our homework, so we're going to have a new fun part of this segment.
We sure did. I studied all week for it.
That means you're eligible for some gold stars.
Hey, I get my gold stars back this week.
Take your seats, children, and let's get on with class.
Let's get to class.
So this week is the week of October 6th through October 12th. And our first tidbit on October 6th comes from 2012.
2012, October 6th.
Providence, Rhode Island, Dave Bautista makes his MMA debut with a first-round knockout victory over Vince Lucero.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
A CS or CES MMA event. It would be the only MMA bout for the former WWE World Champion.
Wow.
Well, could have been. I mean, 1-0. Maybe he sticks with it. You never know. Yeah, he was a pretty big dude.
He was jacked up at that point.
He was, dude. He was huge.
So, and that's the only one I got for the 6th. So, we're moving on to the 7th. And, like we discussed, this time for our homework. So, hopefully, you took some good notes, Chad.
I did take some good notes. Okay. I remember everything that I wrote about.
Okay. Got my stickers ready to stick on the board.
All right. So, do you want me to start with the beginning of the show?
Yes.
All right. So this was October 7th, 2002. This was Monday Night Raw. And this was the first ever Raw Roulette, which was Eric Bischoff's idea. I don't know if it actually was, but it was kayfabe Eric Bischoff's idea. And so every match was determined by a spin of the wheel. And there was a lot of just, it was a gimmick match palooza for the entire show.
And they did it because they were in Las Vegas.
Exactly. They did it in Las Vegas. So the show opened with Eric Bischoff explaining what I just explained to everyone. And then we had the opening. The first thing I want to say is that I didn't realize how much I missed the cool, like, pyro opening where the thing came down. And it just blew up.
I said that to Diesel, and they had the old song in the background. And the
come on, come on.
Yeah, and the crowd got jacked. Like, I wish Vince McMahon would go back and watch that and be like, wow, look at that, how jacked they are. The music's on. Pyro, they need to bring it back.
Do something.
No, 100%. Seriously,
it got the show excited.
Instantly. No, and there's so many signs is the other thing that I first thought of as well.
I said the same exact thing.
Like, people were so into it that every single person had a sign. That's before they started confiscating signs, all these signs and stuff. It's like,
no, you gotta sneak signs in nowadays. Back then they were like, what's your sign say? It says pussy on it, bring it out there. show it on there. Yeah, we have the explicit rating anyways. I don't care, I'll say pussy.
All right, so the
first match on the card, they spun the wheel, and it was a steel cage match, and it was between Big Show and Booker T won this match. I didn't really enjoy this match. I thought it was really sloppy, and Big Show looked horrible.
He was really, really big.
I thought it was an interesting match. It was the first match of the night, and it was a cage match. How many times you started?
Yeah, I thought it was. Match? I thought it was all right. I love that it was the old school cage matches where you can't pin anybody or submit anybody. You have to escape either through the door or over the top. That's what you should have in a cage match.
And Booker T escaped over the top.
And he also did a scissors kick from the top rope, which was awesome.
No, and he did, yeah. I mean, Booker T is great. I do love Booker T.
The Big Show was very slow in it, and he was really He did
a lot of punches.
Looked weird with hair.
He did look weird with hair.
He looked a lot of punches.
And then he was going to do a spin-a-rooney on the outside, and he got attacked by Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
It was decent.
Okay, do you think I could find that shirt? I want that shirt that just has Fozzie on the front and then says on the back, we are big rock stars. If anybody out there, I swear to you, if you have that shirt and you'll sell it to me, I'll buy it from you right now.
He's not paying the big bucks.
He's not joking.
I am not kidding in the slightest. That is the funniest shirt, and I had forgotten how great it was because I won it. Because Chris Jericho then cuts a promo later when he said, why did you attack Booker T, and he goes, because he didn't accept we're big rock stars. And it was hilarious. One of my favorite things. I'm jumping ahead, though. I'm sorry. But
overall, it wasn't the greatest of matches, but it was okay.
Yeah. All right. So the next part was the promo with Chris Jericho. That probably happened just right after or a little after.
Yeah, I went to commercial, and then when they came back, he got interviewed by Terry Runnels.
Oh,
yeah.
She was so bad. That's another thing I forgot, how much she was so bad at interviews. Drove me nuts the entire time.
Called her an ass clown, which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, gotta miss the old ass clown lines.
Chris Jericho was hilarious back then.
He had Booker T's blood on his fist, and he referenced it in the promo.
Yep, that was good stuff.
Yeah, back when it was TV-14. Then we had the segment with Triple H and Eric Bischoff and Ric Flair and all them. Him spinning the wheel to see what kind of match he would have. And it was deemed a blindfold match. And he thought it was going to be against a lesbian.
he
definitely did, because Ric Flair brought out some people. And so Triple H was cool with it. And that's definitely not what happened in the match.
It was against D'Lo Brown, who was returning. He'd been gone for a while.
Yeah. And didn't get any pop, which I was kind of upset about, because I love D'Lo Brown.
I like D'Lo Brown a lot, too. I don't know why he wouldn't get a pop.
Yeah, no, he almost killed the guy.
Well, that was on accident.
He forgave him.
He did forgive him. And I forgive D'Lo Brown, because D'Lo Brown's cool.
And he slipped on the thing. He's never hurt anybody else before.
No, like the sky-high, like,
he's not a habitual, like, hurting people.
Yeah.
That is a good move. I like that one a lot, too.
Yeah, no, so that was really awesome. And by awesome, I mean I hated that match as well.
But there was a lot of funny, goofy spots.
It was a comedy match, and I was just in the wrong mood for the comedy match.
Oh, I was into it. Me and Diesel were talking about...
He had Triple H had D'Lo Brown in the corner, and D'Lo Brown slipped away, and they had black sacks over their head so they couldn't see anything. That was the blindfold. And he's like yelling in the corner and pointing to the corner like he's yelling at D'Lo Brown. He goes to grab him, and there's nobody there.
There's nobody there.
He falls over, and it's a hilarious spot. And I just wanted to say, D'Lo did the sky high with the blindfolds on, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Oh, it did look good.
It was a perfect one, too.
Oh, and Triple H took it really well, as you would expect, because Triple H is one of the best wrestlers of all time. And long story short, the technical wrestlers, Chad, not everything. But long story short, Ric Flair got on the apron and distracted the referee, and then Triple H pulled his sack up, hit the pedigree. The sack on his head.
He pulled his sack up.
His blindfold. The sack on his head. Over his head and hit the pedigree and pinned D'Lo Brown.
Great. We're going to move on from that now. So we had another segment. I actually think it happened right after the Triple H part, and we kind of skipped ahead. But it was when William Regal came in and was complaining about the gimmick matches going on, and Mr. Eric Bischoff said, "Well, I'm going to determine your match right now."
He asked if he could just have a regular match.
Yeah, and he said, "Definitely not."
No, and he spun the wheel, and we got a showgirls match
with William Regal.
William Regal and Goldust. And the best part of this match was the fact that both Lance Storm came out to interfere. Love seeing Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah, great.
Love seeing Lance Storm. And William Regal won with the power of the punch by holding the brass knuckles in his brassiere.
Yeah.
And I laughed really hard. And there was a nip slip of William Regal after the match that also made me chuckle.
Well, also, you got to like describe what he was actually wearing. He had like the nylon tights, the high heels, and like he's like, like a lingerie like type top.
Yeah, showgirls.
Yeah, you know, with the feather hat, the big feather hat. And
showgirl.
Oh, it was super hilarious.
Yeah, but it was still over the top.
See, I like how you didn't like that last match, but then all of a sudden you were in the mood for a showgirls match.
Yeah, because it's William Regal and Goldust. It was hilarious.
It was funny. It was
and
great.
William Regal with the power of the punch is awesome. Every time. I love the – that was my favorite thing he used to do, is holding the brass down, just pa.
And you know, he really was having fun with that.
Oh, yeah. He was laughing his ass off when he was walking down with the heels on.
Oh, he almost broke his ankle like three times.
It was hilarious.
I miss all the silly stuff from back then. Like, I like some silly stuff, but that stuff is so over the top that it makes it hilarious.
Okay.
All right.
We should move on.
All right. Well, the next match is we're going on to the Trish Stratus and Stacey Keibler championship match, which is probably the depths of where we were at that time. And at the time, we were all a young age. So clearly
I was 14.
Yeah, I was 15. So
I was 13.
Yeah, so it was really awesome. But this was a paddle on a pole, bra and panties match. And I mean, rewatching it, it makes me go, damn, I understand why people were like, you shouldn't let your kids watch wrestling.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, they didn't even let them wrestle like at all. The match was really short and you had to get them into their bra and panties first. And then you could use the paddle on the person.
All right. I want you both. How long do you think this match actually took? Because I have it right now up on my computer.
3 minutes and 47 seconds.
What is your guess?
Oh, I'd go about 2:58.
You both overshot it. It's Whew. 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Jeez, man. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It seemed a lot longer.
Yeah, the best part. Yeah, because we were all cringing, rewatching it, going, ugh.
Well, I mean, it was cringeworthy, but I mean, at the same time, the 14-year-old in me was still marking out.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, dude.
It's Trish Stratus and Stacey Keibler. I'm sorry. I am a red-blooded American male here. Come on.
The best part of this entire match is the fact that it was the beginning of the Victoria-Trish Stratus feud, which is one of the best parts of women wrestling at that time, because they had the first ever hardcore match for the women's title, and they have a great feud.
Oh, it's yeah. Victoria was a really good women's wrestler. Like, after Trish Stratus won, she was beating Stacey Keibler with the paddle, and then Victoria came down to attack her.
Yep. So next on the card, we had Tess come down to the ring, and then a surprise appearance by Al Snow.
Who does everybody want?
Do you want?
We're not saying it, but that actually got a huge pop because he was just coming back. He hadn't been on there.
He was a Tough Enough trainer. This is back in the heyday of Tough Enough. It was like season three back when Tough Enough was super popular.
Yeah, he was
popular.
The head trainer of Tough Enough. That's right.
So he was off filming, and this is the first time, and he was a SmackDown superstar before he came over. So that's why it was so surprising he was there. And yeah, it was a huge pop. And him and Tess had a Las Vegas street fight with so many shots to the head, with so many weapons, that I'm surprised that actually, I can't say that. I'm really sorry. I'm just going to move on. But I'm surprised. It looked like it hurt a lot.
Yeah, well, you talk about cringeworthy with Test in the ring and everything. You don't want to – it like every single time he took one to the head, I was like, oh, man, that's crazy. Because I know he OD'd on prescription medicine, but it was probably because of concussions and things like that. So seeing stuff like that, you're like, I can't believe they used to just go that hard, take a speed limit sign right across the head, and then right into a chair shot, and then right into a trash can across the head. I mean, it's entertaining, but it's also really scary.
Yeah, it's nuts to think about. But on the lighter side of things, there was a good moment when Al Snow went under the ring and pulled out a bowling bag and pulled out a bowling chair out of the bowling bag, put it on. Well, Tess was in the corner, and he got picked up the bowling ball, but nothing ever really came of it. I think he hit Tess.
No, he won the match by knocking him out with the bowling ball.
Yeah, I meant he didn't roll it.
But he knocked him out with the bowling ball. Who was on commentary this time?
It was still a JR.
It was JR, and they go, he went all Pete Williams on him.
Yeah, and that's how Al Snow got the victory.
It was awesome, the bowling ball shot to the head. So the next match on the card, I also have to bring this up, is that Jerry Lawler, I understand that back in the day he was playing a character, but he was almost unbearable for me through most of this entire Raw. I know you're both fine with it. It's great. I have to say that I wanted to mute him at multiple points.
Chad, we know you don't like him. And
I don't.
But I enjoy him, like, especially with, I don't know what it is with him and good old JR. They have this rapport that makes me like him so much better. Like, when you see him without JR, he's the worst person, I swear. But he's playing a womanizer. That's what he does. So he talks about women pretty much the entire time. You know, so, I mean, it's just a character.
It's just the nostalgia factor for me. I mean, yeah, I just remember it from when I was a kid, and it just, that's what I thought wrestling was when I was a kid, was JR and the King. Just like back at the bra and panties match, I didn't know any different. I thought that was wrestling. I thought that's how wrestling was forever.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was a kid, I'm like,
well. No, I completely, I probably didn't, like, I wasn't into e-fetting until I was probably about 16 or 17. So I didn't really watch independence. Like, I quasi-watched it, but I didn't watch women independence. So I didn't know either.
But I mean, so for the King, for me, I mean, it just, just what I remember, it made me laugh back then, and it kind of makes me chuckle still today because it's
so
familiar.
Over the top. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it is familiar.
It's all a character, I understand, but it just still, it bugs me. Whatever. So he had a match with Steven Richards in one of the most ridiculous things ever, because the match stipulation was it's legal in Vegas. So the match on the line was that you got to ride the Godfather's Ho Train, and he had real prostitutes out there.
Yeah, the Godfather was retired at the time, so it was another surprise.
Another surprise return.
Surprise Godfather appearance with real prostitutes and in Las Vegas. A whole bunch of them.
Yeah, there was at least 9 of them.
Oh, there was.
Yeah, there might have been more than that.
But Jerry Lawler didn't get the win. It was actually a pretty good match. I won't lie to anyone about that.
Jerry Lawler was looking spry. It was good.
And the King has always been a really good wrestler.
Yeah.
And JR was on commentary by himself, and he carried the rest of the show by himself.
Yeah, it was crazy how good he was by himself.
Yeah, no, JR is better than by himself at this age. I wish that it would just been JR by himself all the time for this entire show. I'd have been happier.
Even when he screws up, he's still JR.
I haven't even mentioned any of those because I'm being a nice guy.
But, yeah, so then King won the match.
Yep.
So he won the hose.
Yep.
Got to ride the whole train.
Yep.
And then after the match, there was a little wardrobe malfunction, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, there was a definite wardrobe malfunction, and it was very – I can't believe the WWE Network hasn't edited that out.
They didn't blur it or anything. It was clearly right out there in the open.
I can't believe the WWE Network hasn't edited it out. But we will move on because we're going into the best part about this show, because this was a phenomenal ending to this show, and I wish Raw nowadays would have a main event like this, because this was a TLC match for the Tag Team Championships. We have to start before the match started, though, because Kane currently is both Tag Team Champion and Intercontinental Champion, and he's about to be challenging for the Heavyweight Championship as well. And Triple H
talked about this last week in Pro Wrestling History 101.
Kings of Continuity.
That's right. That's exactly.
KK or CC?
Who knows?
I think we're going KK.
I think KK sounds
just the two, though.
No, actually, we're going CC. We're going CC. All right, but so, Kings of Continuity. Kane is about to be challenging for the heavyweight title from Triple H. And so before the match, his tag team partner is the Hurricane currently. And they are going to have the match. And Triple H and Ric Flair, the beginning of Evolution, attack Hurricane in the back and just destroy him before this match.
So he has no tag team partner in this TLC match whatsoever. And it was kind of weird to see Kane is so over in this. He is like a face among it's crazy.
The Canaanites. WTF.
He had a interview with Terry Reynolds.
Also terrible stuff.
She's not very good at it. So he has no tag team partner in this match. Go ahead with the other participants there, Chip.
Wait. We gotta go back to the beginning of Raw when they were in the wheel room, whatever it was, Eric Bischoff's office, and he told Kane and Hurricane they were going to be defending their belts. He spun the wheel, and that's when they decided that it was going to be a TLC. And then who did he invite into his office to tell that they were going to be involved in the match? Chad, you can tell everybody.
The three people are the three people who pretty much made TLC what it is. But it was only one half of each of these tag teams. So we had one half of the Dudleys, Bubba Ray. We had one half of the Hardys, Jeff, and we had one half of Edge and Christian being Christian. So Mr. Eric Bischoff said that they all had to go find their own tag team partners for a four-way TLC match that would main event the show.
So it was a thread that weaved through the entire episode.
Yeah, it was. They were all trying to find partners, and they all found some pretty great partners.
They sure did.
I also want to skip back one more second because I almost forgot to talk about this. The fact that Randy Orton is vignetted on this show,
yes,
if you will.
And Batista.
And Batista. Both of them.
And neither of them in Evolution yet. And Randy Orton looks so weird with his long hair. And they also have a super weird vignette with his father talking through it, where it's so weird, but everything he says is 100% correct.
Well, yeah, his dad goes, when he gets to the end of his career, he's going to have so many titles and so many accomplishments. He's going to be one of the best wrestlers that's ever lived. And he's lived up to that hype. It's not even close.
He has surpassed it.
He's pretty close to the most titles ever. He has 13.
And no one even talked about it when he won it. But we're going to move along because we're going to go back to this main event. So as we said, Kane has no partner because the Hurricane was taken out. But the teams are as such. Bubba Ray Dudley at first approached Tommy Dreamer to be his partner, but Spike Dudley was sitting right there and pulled the, oh, I'm your younger brother, so you should only be your partner. So it's Spike Dudley and Bubba Ray Dudley versus Christian and Chris Jericho.
Yep, which is a good team.
Oh, it's a great team right there. They actually have a wonderful thing coming up where they're going to be feuding for the hearts of Lita and Trish.
Trish, yep.
Where it just all turns to great things.
They made a bet and everything. We don't got to get into it, but it was good stuff. It was good stuff, yeah.
Great stuff. And then finally, the last team in the match is Jeff Hardy, who was drugged out of his mind.
It sure looked like it.
And Mr. Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Monday Night, as he was called in the WWE. Right.
The whole effing show.
Yeah.
So this was a phenomenal match. Like, bottom to top, cool spots and everything like that. Jeff Hardy throwing himself through everything. It was just a great match.
Yeah, Spike Dudley trying to do the Dudley dog and getting thrown to the table on the outside.
And you had Bubba Ray take a bulldog from Jericho off the top rope that knocked him out cold. I couldn't believe he finished the match after that.
He did two more moves off the ladders after that.
Oh, man, he took it hard, like face first, straight into the ground.
Yeah, no, it was an insane match. It was a phenomenal TLC match. It was only the fourth TLC match ever in WWE history at that point.
First one ever on Raw, they were saying,
It was an insane fact because I had to look it up myself because I didn't believe that it was only the fourth one ever. But this is how Raw should end all the time. It was a great way, but we have to say Kane did retain his title somehow.
Because he's the monster.
Yeah, and he's super over, and I love Kane. So
he's super over, but this did spawn the worst storyline in modern day WWE history, because this is when the Katie Vick necrophilia murder angle begins at the end of Raw, because Triple H comes out and calls Kane a murderer.
He goes, I know what you did. I know, Katie Vick, you're a murderer, and it is terrible.
Very terrible.
And the way they set it up is bad because Kane was so over. I just didn't like the whole thing.
So, and it looks like you guys actually did your homework, and I think you both got, both of you guys deserve an A.
Yes. Thank you much. Appreciate it.
At least an A for effort.
Yeah. So, well, we're effort spelled with an E.
You get an A because of your effort. Come on, Chad. Get your head in the game here. We're going back to October 7th.
All right, October
7th. We have a birthday. Celeste Bonin.
Yeah.
She is known to wrestling fans as Caitlyn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
31. And there's rumors that she may be returning soon.
Yeah, I heard that too.
So I thought that was relevant. So she makes the tidbits.
Happy birthday, Caitlin.
Celeste. Okay, we're moving on. Talk over.
Go ahead.
Wait, do you have something to say?
Well, why wouldn't she go with Celeste? That sounds like a good wrestler name to me.
They probably made her go with Caitlin.
Well, probably. I'm just saying.
You know,
let's move on. Sorry.
We're going to go to Raw on October 8th.
2001.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
I'm not repeating that.
Stone Cold Steve Austin defeated Kurt Angle to win the WWF Championship for the sixth time.
Wow.
At the time, Stone Cold tied The Rock for most WWF Championship reigns, and The Rock would take the record back in July 2002 when he won his seventh title.
Oh, wow.
Those have both been shattered since then.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Cena has 16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy Orton has 13.
Yeah. Triple H has 14.
Yeah.
So let's go to 2005.
2005.
We're going to Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar.
He wins it up.
Defeated Kazuyuki Fujita and Masahiro Chono in a three-way match to win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Yep.
Lesnar was making his New Japan in-ring debut. He would hold the title until the following July, when alleged visa issues prevented him from appearing at a title defense against Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah.
Sorry. Was kind of skimming. So we're going to keep going with this. In reality, it was a dispute with management that forced New Japan to strip Lesnar of the title. Lesnar then left the company and took the belt with him.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like Brock Lesnar to me.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar has no time for no fools.
He does not care.
So in 2007, when the Inoki Genome Federation, I think that's how you say it, was founded by Exiled New Japan founder and president Antonio Inoki. Yeah.
Aoki.
No, Inoki.
Inoki.
Aoki was a baseball player. He played for the Brewers, and I think he still plays, but I don't know for who. Anyways, so the Inoki Genome Federation, just founded by the former New Japan founder, he declared Brock Lesnar as his first champion. And the first ever title defense Brock Lesnar had was against Kurt Angle, and yep. He lost.
Yeah, I knew that. And the Kurt Angle won. He had the IWGP title, but doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, it wasn't the yeah. real one anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it was Brock Lesnar's final wrestling match until he came back in WWE in 2012.
That's after he won the UFC heavyweight title,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We have another birthday.
Birthday!
The Miz!
Yes. Oh, no way. When is it?
October 8th.
8th, nice.
And we've been talking about The Miz a lot, and you guys didn't even know.
I did not. No, I don't keep track of people's birthdays.
No, I'm just saying, it's a coincidence, man. Just continuity.
Continuity.
It's continuity without us trying to be...
Kings of continuity.
That's right.
Exactly. CC.
Do you want to know how old he's going to be?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It's gonna, it feels weird because it seems like he shouldn't be this old. 38.
Oh, I called it.
You did call that. Where's his gold star?
Oh, Chad's got a gold star. Jerry, you need to earn some gold stars.
Dude, well, I didn't know he was 38. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, maybe he'll get the next birthday.
I doubtful.
Oh, look.
I didn't. I mean, I kind of did, but I didn't read it.
Okay, moving on to October 9th.
October 9th.
2006.
2006, the year I graduated.
Had an Impact taping at Universal Orlando. Kurt Angle makes his TNA debut.
Oh. All
right.
Angle appeared after Samoa Joe refused to return the NWA World Heavyweight Championship belt under threat of termination.
Wow, nice.
And take him out.
So they called up the Olympic hero to bloody the man and get the belt back.
That's awesome.
And this led to probably the second best match that TNA ever put on.
Eventually, where it was all the titles for all the titles.
Yep.
Okay, well, we got another birthday.
Birthday!
But this one is a would have been birthday.
Oh, no, that's sad.
Yeah.
Can't always be lollipops and sunshine. Sometimes you got to be storms at black licorice.
Oh, yeah. All right. Never heard that before, but all right.
It's original.
I like it.
It's a Chad original.
I thought of it. Yeah.
Okay. But this person definitely needs to be a tidbit. And it's Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, gotta love Eddie Guerrero.
Sure. How old do you think Eddie Guerrero would have been?
Would have been right now?
Yeah, and his birthday on October 9th.
46.
50.
Oh, I thought about it, but I thought that was a little old.
I would have got another gold star.
I'll give JR a half gold star.
What?
What? Half a gold star for that bullcrap?
That's right. Half a gold star, baby.
We expect more out of you.
That's crap.
He's a better student than me for sure.
It's crap.
Chad, you're going places. No offense again, Jared.
No, you're good. I'll be working at a gas station one day.
Oh, me too. So anyways, we're going to October 10th.
October 10th.
2006.
All right. Let's get here. I graduated.
Remember yesterday, JR, we were talking about Psychosis?
Yes, we were.
Oh, I got a tidbit for you about Psychosis.
Let's hear it.
WCW.
No, he was part of the WWE at the time.
Okay.
Okay.
2006. So, the year you graduated.
Oh, yeah, later.
The year you graduated. So, yeah, Psychosis was arrested after allegedly stealing a car from a 23-year-old man in Baja, California.
Ah.
He's falling on hard times or what, man?
Yep, I guess so. I guess he took the car. I'll just read it word for word
because
I'm dumb. Okay. Psychosis was taken into custody after a high-speed chase that resulted in several cars being hit. One was driven by an 18-year-old pregnant woman, but she was okay, suffered no serious injuries, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's still pretty bad, though.
But it also turned out that Psychosis used a toy gun to steal the car, and he would be released from the WWE shortly after the incident.
Well, you better believe that. Was he? It sounds like he was having some like breakdown.
Psychosis?
Yes, some psychosis.
He was having his own personal yeah, psychosis.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, he broke down and had a psychosis.
I said that one up there myself.
All right, well, let's move along.
2009. We're going back to Indianapolis.
Again.
Tyler Black wins the Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest one-night tournament.
Nice.
The men he beat in this tournament was Roderick Strong, Chris Hero, Delirious, Colt Cabana, and Claudio Castagnoli.
Wow. Damn, that is a sick lineup.
Do you want to know who else participated in this tournament?
Of course I do. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Steen.
All right.
Rhett Titus.
Nice.
Kenny King.
All right.
Kenny Omega.
Wow.
Petey Williams.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn, where, is right. Where were you we need, in 09? Let's go.
You need Ron Simmons. Damn.
Damn.
Okay. We're going to October 11th, SmackDown 2011 in Dallas, Texas.
All right.
Okay. Randy Orton wins a 41-man battle royal to earn a WWE Championship opportunity.
Wow.
Wow, really? That's even more than like a Royal Rumble.
I think it was later in that episode as well. I don't know the results of the match because I didn't put that in my tidbits that I was looking up earlier.
Fair enough, Professor.
But anyways, this is the largest battle royal in WWE history. And would you like to know who the other participants were? Yes. All other 40 men?
Yes,
we were. Are you going to name all 40? Run through them, my good man.
Would you like them in alphabetical order?
Sounds
yes,
good.
I do.
Because I got them in alphabetical order for you.
I'm excited.
Okay, we're going to go Alex Riley, CM Punk, Christian, Cody Rhodes, Kurt Hawkins, Daniel Bryan, David Otunga, Derek Bateman, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Ezekiel Jackson, Heath Slater, Jack Swagger, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Jinder Mahal, John Morrison, Johnny Curtis, Fandango,
yep.
JTG, Justin Gabriel, Kofi Kingston, Mason Ryan, Matt Stryker, Michael McGillicuddy,
a.k.a. Kurt Henning. No.
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel.
almost, okay.
His Kurt Henning's son. Yeah.
Kurt Henning's son.
You had it.
Percy Watson.
Yeah.
Primo. Yeah. R-Truth. Santino Marella. Sheamus. Sin Cara. Ted DiBiase Jr. The Miz. There he is again.
Always.
Titus O'Neil. Trent Beretta, Chad.
Wow.
Right? Tyler Rex. Tyson Kidd, Wade Barrett, William Regal, Yoshitatsu, and woo, Zack Ryder.
Wow.
That's a good list of 40 people right there, isn't it?
Yes, holy darn. Is. That is like a list of who's who. Like,
was that on a Raw?
SmackDown.
SmackDown?
Yeah.
I think I might watch that, actually.
Yeah, 2011.
You know my
October 11th.
I love a good battle royal.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling History 101, JR. You get to learn things and also find things you have to go check out.
Yep. The biggest surprise was Trent Brett. I didn't even realize he was in the WWE.
I knew he was in the WWE for a little while.
I did not.
Oh. All right. Let's go with another tidbit, Professor.
Birthday.
Birthday.
Trevor Mann.
Does
anybody know who Trevor Mann is?
Sounds familiar.
Plus, Trevor Mann is turning 29.
Yeah.
Okay.
Though he has worked as Helios and Shikara, and more recently as Lucha Underground's Prince Puma,
most
people know him as Ricochet.
Ricochet, that's awesome. Yeah. He's only 29. Yep. That makes me feel terrible.
Will Ospreay's like 24.
I know. And like you go with like Tyler Bate, he's like 19.
He's like 19.
Well, when he won the UK championship, he was 19 years old.
Well, Paige is only like 23.
I know, that's ridiculous. She's been in she's been around for like 4 years.
Okay, so moving on to our final day. Got two more left, and then we send you on home for your cookies. Okay, 2008, October 12th. The Wrestler makes its United States premiere at the New York Film Festival.
Oh, great movie.
Mickey Rourke just absolutely kills that movie.
Out of nowhere, too. Like, he hadn't been in much before then. Or he had, but it's been a while.
Yeah, this is his comeback.
His comeback movie.
big comeback.
When he played, what was it? He's not the bull. He's not the rhino. What is
the Ram.
The Ram. There it is.
And then you got Marissa Tomei putting in a good performance. That's a great
dude. Dude, he has the elbow drops, his finisher, dies at the end. Well, we don't know.
But we don't know. It sure looked like he died.
That's how I like to imagine
it. Yeah, I imagine he dies.
It's morbid, but well, it was a great movie. I can't believe that it's almost been out for 10 years already.
We're old.
I mean, where does the time go?
Where does the time go?
But we're going to finish with a birthday.
Birthday!
But it's another would have been. And it's another very notable person that has to be on the tidbits.
I understand.
Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, Dusty. Oh,
Dusty.
I guess how old he was going to be or would have been.
Go ahead first, Chad.
67.
I'm going to go 72.
72 is the answer.
Gold star and a half. I beat you today.
He's winning.
If you try and pull that half gold star on me one more time, I will slap the hell out of you.
I can't believe I pulled that out of nowhere, I swear.
Yeah, I will slap.
I was trying to send it to you like
telepathically.
My ESPN.
Yeah, through your ESPN.
I don't know. I mean, you got Don Classel early again. I haven't heard no bell.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Well, there's the bell. Go home, kids. Get your cookies.
Get your snacks. Maybe enjoy a great after-school special.
You know, wrestling is always a good after-school special.
So that was Pro Wrestling History 101 for the night. And we're going to move right ahead into our No Mercy predictions. I'm going to be flat out with everyone. We already recorded this once. So we're probably going to fly through these ones because this is the second try because my computer sucks.
If you want some more like in-depth analysis, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, we will tell you exactly why we're picking these things. So the first thing, all we're going to talk about because it's involved in the tiebreaker, is the pre-show match is between the Hype Bros and the Gold Standard, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. And we're really just talking about, because we know the Gold Standard's going to win, do we think that either of the Hype Bros are going to turn heel in this match?
And I think Mojo Rawley is going to turn heel.
And I think it's going to be Zack Ryder. So we got a disagreement here.
And that is our tiebreaker because for the Better Lucky Than Good Wrestling Championship, these two guys are going for number one contendership for my belt because I am the champion and they have to win their way to being number one contender.
We have to earn it.
Earn it, baby.
Got to grasp for that brass ring.
So clearly we're all taking that one. We're going to move right along. Our next match is Rusev versus Randy Orton. And I am taking Rusev in this match, and I'm taking him by submission on Randy Orton.
I totally agree with that. I just think it's his time. Randy Orton, I don't think, wants to be around SmackDown anymore. He wants to be a heel, as Diesel said earlier when we recorded this. But, yeah, so I agree.
Yes, Randy's going to put him over, I think, and I concur with the both y'alls.
With the both y'alls. I'm with both y'alls. So clearly we have Rusev by submission because he's going to win. What's his finisher called even now?
It's still the accolade.
The accolade. I couldn't think of the accolade. Thank you. So the next match on the card is the glorious one, Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler's gimmick, I love. These two guys don't because they're fools. We're not going to talk about it right now. I'm taking Bobby Roode to win by glorious DDT, at least two of them.
I actually think it'll probably just be one, but yeah, I'll take Bobby Roode as well.
I'm just going, Rude's going to win. I don't care how many DDTs.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
But we are taking it by pinfall. And we're going to take our tiebreaker on this one as well.
Yes, we are.
This is the best match to take a tiebreaker on. The next match.
We're giving away our secrets.
The next match on the card is the United States Championship match between AJ Styles and Baron Corbin.
And the earlier one I talked about maybe having Ty Dillinger in the match too, but we'll just skip that for now. I will take AJ Styles all day, every day.
AJ is going to retain.
AJ should retain in this because Baron Corbin's being buried, so hopefully he can be rebuilt into a world title contender and not a U.S. championship contender, and I'm not trying to belittle the U.S. championship at all, but I'm going to take AJ by pin, and I think he's going to hit the phenomenal forearm for the win.
Yep, agreed.
Yep.
Fantastic. We're going to move right along to the singles match for the Women's SmackDown Championship between Natty and Charlotte Flair. I will tell you right away, I am taking Natty by pinfall. Not by submission. I have her winning once again by hitting Charlotte Flair's head off of a turnbuckle or something stupid like that.
I am the other way. I am going to take Charlotte Flair and the other way, probably by submission, I would say the figure eight. And I really think it's her time to shine. And if Carmella does cash in, I think it's a perfect feud for Charlotte.
I am actually going to go with Natalya as well. I think they could drag this one out a little longer. I just think that
they've already had a great feud before on NXT that no one actually saw appear before NXT was popular. So they could redo that feud, and I'd be
on the main roster as well.
Yeah, they could be super awesome again.
Before Natty turned heel.
Yeah, no, I think that they should redo this feud, and I don't think Carmella is going to cash in. I think she's going the Dolph Ziggler route, and I think she's going to hold that briefcase until the night comes where she cannot hold it anymore.
I agree.
So we both, we're taking for the podcast picks, we're both taking Natty. Are you going to agree with me with pinfall?
I agree with you on pinfall.
All right, so we're taking Natty by pinfall in this match. The next match is what I think will be the match of the night because these two teams have such great chemistry, and now we're putting them in a Hell in a Cell match, and it is the Usos versus the New Day for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
I am going to go with the Usos simply because of the stipulation that there is no rematch to the losers. Even if the New Day lose, they don't get their contractual rematch clause.
So I'm actually going to go the other way because of the same reason. Like, it makes a lot of sense that if the New Day win, the Usos don't get a rematch because they've already lost. No contractual rematch. It's over. New Day can move forward, so I'm going to take the New Day.
I actually 100% agree with JR on this one. I'm going to take the New Day to win this match because of the exact same thing, the stipulation. I think otherwise this feud will continue, and I think they have been phenomenal together, but we do need to split these two teams up for a little while at this point. And if the Usos win, I know that it says they have no contractual rematch, but the New Day will weasel their way back into it. So I think, honestly, the New Day needs to win this match. And for the podcast picks, I'm going to take Big E to win this match because of
Midnight Hour.
Midnight Hour. He's going to pin Jey Uso.
And I will agree with you on that. You don't have to use your possession arrow on this one because I'm 50-50 on this one anyway, so it's not too hard to talk me into that.
Well, thank you, Diesel, for that. I will still control the possession arrow then, and we'll move right along into our next match, which is the singles match for the WWE Championship between Jinder Mahal with the Singh Brothers. It says it on the card. It honestly does. Versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And once again, I'm going to take Jinder Mahal because I think he's going to be champion until WrestleMania at this point.
I think it might happen at like Royal Rumble or something like that. But I will also take Jinder Mahal, especially since they're going to be touring India soon. He's scheduled to appear, and if he's not there without the title, it doesn't mean as much. So I think he's definitely going to win.
I agree. I don't really have much to say. You guys said it all.
Yeah, no. Jinder Mahal is going to win this match by pinfall. And I really hope it's not by Singh Brothers pure interference again, because that's how he's won every match. I would even take just a roll-up, like with his feet on the rope, like without the Singh Brothers interfering for a better win.
Yeah, or hope they get tossed out or something. Do something different.
Grab the tights, any other kind of cheating heel ways, maybe expose a turnbuckle, blast his head. Yeah, behind the ref's back, anything.
Something like that.
Like, he could beat him by any other heel means necessary.
Not the Singhs.
Not the Singh Brothers just coming in to distract Shinsuke till he gets hit with the Coloss.
I kind of hope Shinsuke takes him out right away, kind of like what Roman Reigns did with Mistraj on Raw.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. Yeah, take him out before the match when they come out to announce Shinsuke, when they come out to announce Jinder, just suddenly Shinsuke appears and Kinshasa's both of them.
Yep.
That would be a really great way to Diesel, I like where your head's at right there. So now we move on to the main event of the entire card, which is by far the hardest match to call. There's a lot of factors in play, and it is Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon in the Hell in a Cell match. And I'll tell you right away, I'm taking Kevin Owens because to me, it makes no logical sense for Shane McMahon to win this match. It doesn't put anyone over. if the commissioner of SmackDown wins over an active competitor, who does that help? So I'm taking Kevin Owens by pinfall.
I am also taking Kevin Owens, mainly because I feel it's the safe bet. I think that it makes more sense for him to get this win. It hurts him probably more if he loses to Shane McMahon. I mean, I guess it's a stipulation match, so they can get around it still. But I just wonder, it's Falls Count Anywhere too, so I wonder where it's going to happen, because it's not going to happen in the ring. If it happens in the ring, I'll be very disappointed.
I would be super disappointed. I'm actually kind of hoping that we have a recurring effect of Shane McMahon jumping off a Titantron.
I'd be all right with it.
And then I just want to say, do you think there will be blood in this match?
I actually do think there will be blood, because, I mean, it's Shane McMahon. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. Obviously, Vince bled in that match, and they're letting Kevin Owens do his thing right now. So I actually think there will be.
I kind of think there will be as well.
I would not be shocked if there was blood in the slightest. There's actually been blood at every one of the pay-per-views for like the past like three pay-per-views.
Yeah, it's been happening a lot. Yeah.
And it's not always been intentional, but there has been at least one, you know, someone has got color at least at every of the past three pay-per-views. So I would say it's a very likely possibility that we will have blood in this match. I think it's going to be great. I think the real question is who is going to kick out of something crazy? Like, either Kevin Owens is going to kick out of an elbow drop from the top of the cage, or Kevin Owens is going to be thrown on top of the cage and kick out of something.
It's gonna be great, because neither of them are scared to do any stunt. Both of them are crazy, crazy people. So I'm excited to watch it.
I really, really want a backlash moment where Shane jumps off a Titantron.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
I've already seen him jump off the Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. So now I want to see him jump off the top of a Titantron again. So those are our numbers.
I didn't make my pick yet.
Oh,
man.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Overzealous, but yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the same thing as you guys. Also, it really is the safe bet to have him win, and I agree with you guys to an extent that it's not in his best interest to lose. But if Kevin Owens does lose, I could see them setting up for a SummerSlam team of each of them. They're probably going to do this. Their Survivor Series, yeah.
The original plan. I do remember seeing reports of that as well.
I think they still might do that regardless of the winner. Yeah, either way.
But I was going to say, I think Kevin Owens can win this, and we still would have a Survivor Series match.
Right. I'm just saying, you know how pissed Kevin Owens would be if he lost, and then he would get all these heels on his team? I could see that happening, but I will go safe as well, and I will take Kevin Owens.
Fair enough. All right, so those were our No Mercy picks. I'm sorry I jumped the gun for a moment there.
You're good, man.
So we're pretty much going to wrap up the podcast at this moment. So we should get some final thoughts from everyone. Yeah,
punishments.
Oh yes, of course. I actually get to choose this punishment because I'm not involved. And whoever picks the punishment tends to get the punishment. Since I'm not involved, I pick this one. And whoever loses this pay-per-view picks will be hit with 6 eggs, raw eggs, and the winner will get to throw them at them.
Yeah, but this is kind of a thing because Chad has already lost this challenge at one point. So whoever loses has to take the egg shot with Chad.
Yep, I'm bringing someone into my misery and also just adding more fuel to the fire, because I'm going to be putting all these videos on Facebook. And I feel at that point we're going to start blowing up, because we're going to be doing some ridiculous
things. So what's fun about it is if you do win, you get to throw not 6, but 12 eggs at 2 of your best friends, which is fun regardless of whether or not they're your friends or not.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Diesel, any final thoughts this evening?
Well, tonight was a very interesting night. It was kind of a long night. We stumbled a couple of times, but we made it through. We made it to the end. I can see the light.
Yeah.
The tunnel.
End of the tunnel, baby.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. We had to re-record and things like that. But, we also forgot to mention that if we tie and neither of the Mojo Rawley or Zack Ryder
turn heel,
that me and Diesel are going to have an arm wrestling match for the tiebreaker.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too until just a second ago. Popped in my head. But, yeah, overall, great night. I love doing this. It's awesome. It's fun. Cannot wait for Hell in a Cell. It's going to be fun.
I think Hell in a Cell is going to be a phenomenal pay-per-view. I am super jacked for it. I thank you guys for dealing with my directorial issues where the computer screws up and I, you know, we have to re-record things. JR, this is the first time he's experienced it. Diesel knows it better than the rest of us.
Yep, I've been here for it. He's
been here for it all because this is Diesel on my podcast and I have a weird computer that does things I don't understand.
The most important thing is I'm still here.
Ayo, baby. And this podcast struggles on here and there and we do phenomenal at it.
So social media or?
Nail it up, buddy.
Okay. Well, check us out on Facebook. I'm going Facebook first this week because that's just what came on my mind first. So Facebook, Tumblr. At a view from the, just view from the top rope. And you can get at me on Twitter at diesel_VFTR. You can get at Chad at view from top rope. JR, hit him with yours.
I am at JakeIsJer89 on Twitter if you need to find me.
And you should. That's right. And you can hear us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes and Google Play. And you got a Gmail account. Almost got the Gmail account.
You almost did.
And it is aviewfromtoprope@gmail.com.
And with that being our social media accounts, and for my good man Diesel, for JR, we thank you for climbing high with us. And we hope that you enjoyed our view from the top rope.